Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Murder. Watch a crime show on television and murder is a frequently visited crime. There is something unsettling about the taking of life, probably because we all have life, and the idea of another person forcibly taking our life is more than we ever want to consider. There is real evil in the world in which we live, and evil has been here since Satan rebelled against God. Throughout history, there have been notable and horrific murders. As a retired public educator, I think of the far too many school children, teens, and staff who have lost their life at the hands of another person at school. As a young child, an army brat living in West Germany in the 1970s, I recall with horror the murder of the father of friends by a terrorist organization. And he died because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I think of parents who have killed their children and children who have killed their parents. Then there are those who kill and kill again and do not stop killing until they are caught. The people who kill and the people who are killed were all created after the image and likeness of God. And that's ironic, because God is not a murderer. Neither does he sin. Having been created after the image and likeness of God, it seems that collectively as people, we are just fine with distancing ourselves from God and doing those things God would never do. And doing those things that God hates because they are sin and embody evil. For all who are called and have a Holy Spirit, reaching for that which is spiritually more than we currently are, it seems like there are so many more who accept and embrace sin and welcome it as part of who they are. Sin persists. And evil continues, and sadly, murders also continue. Genesis shows that God created Adam and Eve and shows how their younger son, Abel, was killed by their firstborn son, Cain. Both were involved in an agrarian lifestyle. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer, and there was enough tension between them for Cain to eventually kill Abel. Thousands of years later, Rodgers and Hammerstein would write The Farmer and the Cowman, showing the tension that existed between ranchers and farmers in more recent times. From the Bible, we can see that both brought an offering to God, and Cain is noted first for bringing an offering of the harvest, and then Abel is noted for bringing of the first of his flock to God. We can see that God had respect for Abel's offering. All we know is that Abel brought an offering of the firstborn of the sheep. Aside from the offering of the harvest, we don't know much about Cain's offering. We don't know if Cain's offering was larger or smaller, or if Cain brought an offering of inferior quality from the harvest. We also don't know if Cain brought an offering of the very best of quality from the harvest. All we know is that Abel brought an offering from the firstborn of the sheep, and that God had respect for his offering, and this made Cain very angry. God saw that Cain was angry and basically told Cain that he could try again next time and shouldn't be angry. Had Cain listened to God, the narrative of the Bible might be much different than what it is today, and yet Cain didn't listen to God and allowed himself to get so angry, he killed his brother Abel. God knew what Cain had done, even though Cain tried to hide it. And in a gesture that only God could enforce, he offered to protect Cain from all who sought vengeance against him. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. After the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons, telling them it was now time to repopulate the earth. He explained how man would be the dominant species on earth, and that both plants and animals would be sources of food for people. And when it came to animals, blood was to be drained from the animals before eating the meat, because blood was a source of life within the animal. God then taught against murder, explaining that because people are created in the image of God, taking the life of a person was punishable by death. Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. The sixth commandment tells us simply to not kill. Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. The Hebrew word for kill is ratzach, Strong's Hebrew word 7523, meaning to murder. Cain murdered his brother. And we will read of some other murders in the Bible. Before he led Israel out of Egypt, Moses first fled because he murdered an Egyptian who was brutally treating the Israelites. When two of the Israelites confronted Moses about the murder, he decided it was time to get out of town before the murder became common knowledge. Exodus 2, verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. David, a man after God's own heart, had Uriah the Hittite killed. When David had gotten Bathsheba pregnant and his plan to cover up the affair failed, all David could think of was to have Uriah killed. So he devised a plan where in the heat of battle, Uriah was killed. David would go on to pay for his sin, and the baby went on to die. With God, it makes no difference if we murder directly or indirectly. With God, murder is murder. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And then David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. And she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab, and the servants of my lord, are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house, to eat and to drink, and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on the bed with his servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. If Moses and David murdered, we should not think of ourselves as being incapable of murder today, because both Moses and David are people of prominence in the Bible. And if a person of prominence murdered thousands of years ago, so could a Christian today. But today, instead of murdering, we should look to their lives as examples and determine we will never commit the sin. When we think of murder, we tend to think of very evil people who are easy to despise. Even the Bible has those types of people as murderers. Let's look at the fate of the vineyard owner from Jezreel, Naboth. Naboth owned a vineyard in close proximity to Ahab's palace. And Ahab really wanted to acquire the vineyard when Naboth had no desire to sell or trade it away. Eventually, Ahab's wife Jezebel came up with a plan to have Naboth murdered by having him falsely accused of treason so he would be stoned to death. It would be left to Elijah to tell Ahab the dogs would lick his blood in the same spot where they licked the blood of Naboth. 1 Kings 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, unto the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were with the inhabitants in a city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the palace where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Being of the household of faith does not mean a person won't be murdered. Some people have been murdered because of their faith. Take Stephen, for example, who preached to the people of Jerusalem, and because he was thought of as a heretic, He was stoned to death. Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in the heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Paul, before he was called, was known as Saul. And as Saul, he consented to the death of Stephen. The person who would go on to write a good deal of what we have as the New Testament agreed to the death of Stephen and by association helped to murder Stephen. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Paul thought of himself as the least of the apostles because he remembered his past persecutions before his calling. The good news is that any sin except for the unpardonable sin can be forgiven, including murder. Most today do not immediately think of Paul as the person who consented to the death of Stephen. Most will look to the many letters he authored and the account of his travels in the book of Acts. During Paul's journey to Rome, the ship he was on was wrecked near the island of Melita, and Paul was able to make it to shore where he started a fire to keep warm and dry off. As he was gathering sticks to burn, he was bit by a venomous snake. The locals thought, with Paul's bad luck, he must have been a murderer, not knowing he previously consented to the death of Stephen. God had mercy on Paul, and the snake had no impact on his health. The locals also saw that Paul lived when he should have been dead or very near dead, and that caused them to change their mind about him. In their minds, he was no longer a murderer, he was a god. Acts 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Stephen was stoned to death for preaching to the people of Jerusalem, and throughout history, people of faith have been challenged regarding the faith. Some, like Stephen, have lost their life because of the faith, and others have suffered persecution. Many of us have had to turn down opportunities that would have conflicted with the faith. I've shared that I'm a retired public educator, and even though I know I would have excelled in administration, the local expectation for administrators would have included many hours on Friday nights and Saturdays, which would have conflicted with the Sabbath. I never saw opportunities I couldn't take as something that I lost. I always thought that it was public education that missed out on having me as an administrator. My final position in public education was as a transition services coordinator, helping students receiving special education services to connect with public services, employment, and educational opportunities after high school. In that position, I was technically still a teacher, and yet the position was designed to function more like an administrator. During my career, I had some who would tell me I had a strange religion. And even though I could have been offended by their words, these words made me think of what is written in the Bible, that we who are called are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. So for me, coming off as somewhat strange to people who are not of the faith is what the Bible tells us we should expect. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Bible tells us we should expect to be looked at differently by people who are not called, because they do not share in the calling we have, and they do not understand the impact of the calling on our life. If we suffer some type of persecution because of the calling we have, we should not consider that to be strange either. What we need to avoid is doing anything that would cause us to rightfully be looked down on by all who are not called. If, as a person of the faith, if we sinned and murdered somebody, stole from another person, or conspired to bring about some type of evil, like victimizing poor people, then we should fully expect to be looked down on for those sins by the world. But the Bible tells us not to sin. All we should suffer for is being a Christian, and as a Christian, we are putting sin out of our life. As we mature in the faith, we should see less sin and more righteousness in our life. From the perspective of all who are not called, we will always be peculiar to them. And as somebody who has seen us peculiar, if we suffer because we are a Christian, we wear that suffering, knowing that in our suffering, we are still bringing glory to God. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. We know from the book of Revelation that unrepentant murderers are included among the list of people who will not have eternal life in the kingdom of God, but that those who overcome will inherit all things. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We either overcome, or we are overcome. And it is clear that those who do not overcome, including unrepentant murderers, will not be part of the kingdom of God. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. From Proverbs, we learn that we need to avoid people who encourage sin. Those who seek to bring harm and death to others frequently meet that very same fate themselves. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. In the book of Psalms, we read of wicked people who act without regard to other people. Wickedness causes a person to oppress others who cannot protect themselves like the poor. When a person is fueled by wickedness to want something, they have no problem talking about why they want what they want, even when it is all fueled by greed. Wickedness causes a person to forget about God as selfish desire is pursued. When God is forgotten, the wicked person is only focused on themselves and will do anything to avoid adversity, including murder when convenient. And who is murdered by the wicked? The wicked tend to murder the weak. As Christians, we cannot be like the wicked. We have to become like God, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. In another psalm, the wicked are shown as those who slay the widow and foreigners and murder orphans. Because the wicked do not regard God, they do not care about other people who are also made in the image and likeness of God. As Christians, we never look down on a group of people and consider them to be less than we are for any reason. As Christians, we know everyone is created in the image and likeness of God. We value the calling we have been given and seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, understanding that not everyone is called at this time. Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. We know the command to not murder. And as Christians, we focus on the words of Jesus, who taught that unjustified anger is similar to murder and can cause us to be judged as if we have murdered. Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. In his first letter, John tells us that those who hate another person are no different than a murderer. As Christians, we do not murder, and neither are we to hate another person without a cause. Instead of hate, we are to have love for each other. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Paul summed it up in Romans. He explained that we are not to repay evil for evil. He showed we are to live peaceably with all people as much as is possible. Paul added that vengeance is not something we act on. If we have been wronged, it's normal to be angry that we have been wronged, but we do not seek to get even. Instead of vengeance, where evil is repaid with evil, we overcome evil by responding with what is good. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The sixth commandment tells us to not murder. And since Cain killed Abel, murder has been present on earth. We know that God hates murder because people who are made in the image and likeness of God kill other people who are also made in the image and likeness of God. We also know unrepentant murderers will not be part of the kingdom of God. For those who are called, we know that hate is an emotion closely associated with murder, so we do not hate people without a cause. We find a way to forgive, overcoming evil with good. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow for Pentecost. Until then, thank you for joining us today.